Next case for argument is United States versus Peters. Mr. Fall.
Good morning. May it please the court, Brian Fall on behalf of Ryan Peters. Because this court has determined that Blakely and Booker do not affect the underlying holding of Almendarez-Torres, and because Mr. Peters can only get relief after the Supreme Court overrules Almendarez-Torres, Peters understands that he is not entitled to relief in this court, and the reason for filing his brief is to preserve the issue for Supreme Court review. So unless the court has questions for me, we'll rely on our briefs.
I just have kind of a basic question here.
Sure.
Why this is a case that implicates Almendarez-Torres or Shepard at all. As I understand it, this is a post-Booker sentencing.
Yes.
And the recidivism enhancement was a guidelines enhancement only, not a statutory enhancement.
Right.
And there's a footnote in this court's decision in United States versus No, N-G-O, that says that
this is
a non-issue in guidelines-related sentences post-Booker because the Sixth Amendment violation is cured.
Right. We were concentrating on the Fifth Amendment violation. The second part of the first hoop is Almendarez-Torres. The second part is we believe that the due process requirement requires fact-finding beyond a reasonable doubt to all things at sentencing, even in guideline sentences.
And that's the issue you're preserving?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Paul. Mr. Pollack?
Good morning, Your Honors. Brian Pollack, Assistant United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, appears on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, this court has made clear, and the defendant has conceded before Your Honors here today, that this court does not have the authority to overrule Almendarez-Torres. I would suggest that this court need not even address that question. This court has ruled in a line of cases that Almendarez-Torres is not to be overruled. And in the instant cases, the court has pointed out here, this only had to do with guideline sentencing. There was no intent or attempt by anyone in this case to sentence this defendant above the statutory maximum, which in this case was 120 months. Judge Stadtmiller in this case chose to sentence the defendant at the low end of the guidelines, 110 months. The defendant also went to great pains in their briefs to argue that contested facts need to be resolved, as pointed out by the appellant here, need to be resolved beyond a reasonable doubt. It is the government's position that there weren't any contested facts at sentencing in this particular case. The defendant never raised at a trial level that he was not the individual who had committed these other two felonies, nor that they, in fact, weren't violent felonies. The argument at the trial level was more of a procedural argument that the court did not follow the correct procedure to determine that these were violent felonies. If there are no other questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Fall, do you have anything further you'd like to
I'll just comment briefly on Mr. Pollack's comments that it was contested. It was not part of the plea agreement, any indications about his prior convictions, and once the pre-sentence report was issued, Attorney Mullins, who represented Mr. Peters at the trial level, filed an objection specifically on Almendarez-Torres. He objected on legal grounds and said once that decision is decided that then we can go forward and then there's no question about the guideline calculations, but he did object to the underlying convictions on Almendarez-Torres grounds.
Okay, well, thank you very much, both counsel. Next case for argument, United States versus Stuckey, Mr. Shobat.